97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tuesday was a sad day for the country music world, and really for patriots around the world, as we lost Toby Keith way too soon. Man, only 62. And Mark, I don't know if you did the math, but when something like this happens with a contemporary, I do the math, I think, oh my goodness, if I knew that I was going to die at 62, you know, I've got 5 years to go. What am I going to pack in that 5 years?
Right.
And this man, it's funny because in my career of country music, I saw him go from pretty boy, you know, with the mullet, the women loved him, to the bad boy American that he turned out to be. And Toby was just a class act all the way.
He was a class act. And I'm not, as you know, a huge country music fan, but of all the country music stars, Toby Keith was one of the two or three I paid attention to.
Well, he was buddies with Sammy Hagar.
Well, Sammy Hagar with what was for many years the Sean Hannity open to his show was that Red, White, and Blue song, right?
So at the Blues games, we play this during our military salute, and when they come back, right before we go on the ice, we do the boot in your ass line, and everyone sings to it, and a new producer came in, she said, maybe we should kill it before that. And I said, it doesn't matter if we kill it before that, because they're going to sing it anyway. And so now we just embrace it. And you know, if you're watching on TV, if you hear the crowd singing, we'll put a boot in your ass. We've just done a military salute.
Ah, interesting. I did not know that. You met him, though, didn't you, Bo?
Several times. I even got, you know, it was kind of cool because all of the Taylor posts on social media went away for all the posts that Toby came on. And I was mentioning a couple of them. You know, I got people backstage to meet him and, you know, how it was a wonderful event. It was just a day of memories because as soon as I learned it, man, I ran down the Toby Keith rabbit hole. And then
Taylor
even had
posted about him.
She did.
There was a picture of her, and then I saw Carrie Underwood. All the country music stars had pictures with Toby Keith.
Right. Everybody. I mean, and that just shows you, with all the people that put their pictures with Toby out there, that shows you how much he was part of the fans. But, you know, without Toby, we would have never had a Taylor. Do you realize that? He discovered Taylor and signed it to, he signed her to his record label before she got to the big leagues. So he's actually the one that is credited to, I guess, discovering her at, what, 15 years old.
Really?
And,
he had a piece of her label.
I did not know that.
Absolutely.
Is that the old label, the one she's remaking all of her songs from?
What was it, Big Machine?
No, that was not his. He had a private record label because he was kind of an outcast of Nashville in the same likes as Willie and Merle and Waylon. They were kind of like, they weren't really embraced.
Mark Cox has a Willie Toby Keith story.
Yeah, I love the one where he described in a live concert that when he was down trying to pitch the Beer for My Horses song to Willie Nelson, he was forced to go into Willie's trailer where they all got stoned because that's what Willie does. And he wrote a song called I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again.
and there's a great video. There's a great video on stage. Scotty Emmerich and Toby, they wrote the song.
Yeah.
And Willie's on the stage. And Willie had never heard the song before. You can see by the expression on his face, it is truly a classic. But when I talked to my daughter, she did three tours in Iraq. And she said Toby was at a USO show that she got to attend and actually talk to him. And, you know, just like anybody that is a patriot at heart, they treat their military really well. But he did a lot of USO tours over the years. He was an entrepreneur, restaurants. I love this bar and grill. I mean, just he was into everything, had his own, you know, cocktails. And then he should have invested in Red Solo cups because he certainly blew up that business.
No kidding. That's the truth, isn't it? Well, it's sad for everyone. And to think that he died so young.
And that 62. And he had 2 years knowing that this stomach cancer was in him, and his wife, they were married for a long time.
Right.
She became his nurse, and he said the last 2 years were comfortable because of her.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it was July 3rd and 4th last year that he went back on stage for the first time in a long time, getting through COVID and all this stuff. And then I just saw an interview with him like a week ago. And they said, how are you feeling? He goes, I feel good. You know, it's a little weaker than I should be or whatever. And
but
I
he
mean,
had
he
lost
was doing
a lot of
still.
Weight by then.
Oh, he, you know, he was a mountain of a man when, you know, when he'd come out and, you know, slay the audience out, Hollywood Amphitheater. I mean, my goodness, but.
Like when he sang the line, we'll put a boot in your ass, I always envisioned his boot because he was such a big guy, right?
Yeah, he was a big dude.
I did. It kind of, well, very sad.
And a great dad, great friend to all genres of music. So if you didn't get down that Toby Keith rabbit hole, maybe take some time over the weekend and do that because hats off to a class act. From the word go.
Look up the We'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again song if you haven't listened to it. It's pretty funny.
And there's another song, because you're a Sammy Hagar nut. I found an interview with Sammy interviewing Toby on his property, and they performed a song called Rum is the Reason Why Pirates Don't Rule the World. Dude, you got it. That I'd never even heard that song before.
I've never heard it either.
It's got kind of a reggae feel.
Yeah.
It talks about Hitler drinking beer in Germany and Stalin drinking vodka martini. It's just genius. What a good dude. Anyway.
Well,
okay.
You know what else happened this week, Bo Matthews? In Michigan, did you see the story where the mother of the teenager who killed four students at a Michigan high school in Oxford, Michigan, was found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter, and the dad still faces charges as well. Here was the verdict as it was read this week. Listen.
On count one of involuntary manslaughter as to Madison Baldwin, we find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter. On count two of involuntary manslaughter in regards to Tate Muir, we find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter. On count three as to involuntary manslaughter regarding Hannah St. Juliana, we find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter. And in count four of involuntary manslaughter against Justin Schilling, we find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, groundbreaking. First time this has happened, and in my opinion, long overdue.
So many
of these cases of teenagers who are still juveniles getting their hands on guns and creating havoc at schools and murder and killing people could be avoided if there was more responsibility on the part of the parents. In this case, the parents knew their child had a lot of issues, bought him guns anyway, took him to the range, taught him how to use them. Whenever the school would call to their attention that he was making drawings that seemed to threaten people, he was looking up how to buy ammunition on his phone in class one day. His parents got called to the school, and nobody thought to check the kid's backpack. He had the gun in his backpack that day, and the school said, you want to take him home? They're like, no, let him finish out the day. And he went back to the classroom and committed these murders. And now these parents are being held responsible for it. I think that's overdue.
I agree with that. And anybody that's a non-Second Amendment supporter probably is feeling the same way. But responsible gun owners feel the same way, too, because you cannot. And I, matter of fact, I've got some people that I know that they bring their teenagers out to, you know, a gun range, like a private, you know, private property kind of thing. And they're so erratic. I just wonder if they're as safe in securing their firearms in their home, which would be the opposite of what they do on the range. It's like, oh, man, safety is number one. That's why we stress it so much on this show, you know. So, yeah, and maybe you'll see more of these verdicts come out like this, but the dad's still yet to be sentenced?
There's one coming up in New Hampshire as well.
Yeah, the dad is yet to be sentenced. He's been charged as well. But, you know, I think back to what happened in Sandy Hook and Adam Lanza, the shooter up there. Clear mental problems. Family ignored it. It was a divorce situation. He lived with mom. She bought him an AR-15, kept it in her safe, took him to the range, taught him how to shoot it. He opened up the safe one the morning he went to Sandy Hook. He killed his mother in her bed, and then he went and killed all those students, right? So the mother's dead. She can't be held responsible for her poor parenting. And so what did the anti-gunners do? They sued the gun manufacturers. They're so angry right. that they can't lash out at somebody. They sued the maker of the inanimate object, which is the height of silliness, in my opinion. The gun operated, it functioned as it's supposed to, but it didn't function on its own. There was right. a mentally disturbed right. young man who took that gun and committed that crime. But
we keep having...
Yeah, in cases where you can find somebody responsible, like the parents who should have done better, in this case, they couldn't do that in Sandy Hook. In the case in Oxford, Michigan, they could.
It makes me think of my childhood growing up. I mean, there was some bullying going on. There was, you know, people intimidating. It's mano a mano, you know, trying to you know, swell up to somebody else. But then you got over it. And yes. it's different. We hear about congressional hearings all the time with social media companies. And it just recently happened where Zuckerberg and, you know, the TikTok reps and all that stuff. We know that these social medias are messing with people's minds. And that's what's also a danger. So you've got to be able to make sure your kids and your family are safe, because bullying nowadays is so different. You look at bullying online.
It leaves school. Dude, yeah. Yeah.
It's game over. Media. It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. And it makes parenting that much more difficult these days. But you've got to be responsible with it, for sure. You know, speaking of guns, there is a whistleblower alleging that your Department of Justice, yours and mine, is trying behind the scenes to prevent or ban the private sale of firearms. And what that's all about, we're going to get to it with the organization who uncovered this with this whistleblower. It's all coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's going to be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is ringing.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer, putting together this fantastic show that we save with and share with Americans and patriots across this country, because we are trying to keep you aware of what things are and what they are trying to change. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, featuring suppressors. If you've never shot a firearm with a suppressor, otherwise known as a silencer, your number one stop is going to be Razorback Armory. You can get that process started. They got cans for everything. That's what they call them, cans. Go to RazorbackArmory.com and check them out.
Yeah,
and,
aren't you cool?
Man, I was listening on Tuesday, for 2A's Tuesday. I was up for some reason that morning.
You were up at 4:30 in the morning. What were you doing?
That was the day Toby Keith passed away.
Yeah, you told us, and we were first with it.
The crazy thing is I got a buddy that drinks beer all night long, and he texted me at 3:45, and my cat woke me up at 4:10, and that's when I learned about it, and then I started texting you guys because I didn't want you to miss the opportunity. So that was a very sad day. But it was a nice break from the Taylor post. Nothing against Taylor, but there was hardly any Taylor post and all Toby post, and they're still going. But I would say that break from Taylor was not worth the life of Toby. He was a walking legend, man. Just
no
an unbelievable
kidding.
Dude.
I would agree with that.
Like
completely.
Mark Cox.
Yeah.
Like Mark Cox. That's right.
I agree. Well, speaking of Tuesday, what we had an opportunity to do was talk to an organization called Empower Oversight. And what they do is accommodate whistleblowers. They if somebody's got a piece of information that has not otherwise been released to the public, they can often work through Empower Oversight to make people aware of that. Well, what did this group do? They found people who are making allegations, whistleblowers, about what the DOJ may be trying to do to impact your ability, Bo Matthews, to buy a weapon from a private gun owner, right? For
this
example,
is craziness.
I know they will basically, in effect, want to ban your ability to do that, which would include, for example, you know, your dad giving you a gun. They want to ban your ability to do that unless you first go to an FFL dealer somewhere and pay for a background check. That's what they're trying to do, and it flies in the face of for a lot of Second Amendment supporters in the United States. And that's what Tristan Levitt of Empower Oversight has been uncovering. So we ask him for more details on that.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, there is a reason we do this segment weekly, because particularly since Joe Biden took office, there have been constant attempts to undermine your Second Amendment rights, particularly the words that say shall not be infringed. They tried desperately to do it through backdoor measures to declare it a public health crisis. We've watched it over and over again since the Obama administration. And this latest one caught my eye because our friends at Empower Oversight are the ones that have done the legwork on this and listened to some whistleblowers talking about the DOJ looking to ban the private sales of firearms. We have Tristan Levitt on the phone with us this morning, president of Empower Oversight Whistleblowers and Research. And Tristan, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
Yeah, it's good to have you on here. So first of all, I guess let's start from the beginning here. How did you learn about this? Where do these whistleblowers come from, and why have we not heard of this before?
Well, we are a nonprofit that really works primarily just with representing whistleblowers, right? And so we talked to a lot of sources in various federal agencies. I worked as a congressional investigator for Senator Chuck Grassley, investigating Operation Fast and Furious a decade ago, and have continued in government since then until leaving about a year ago. And so we're in touch with a lot of different whistleblowers in various parts of government, and only some of them choose to come forward at times, like the IRS whistleblowers in the Hunter Biden case that we're representing. But many times people just want to be able to share information and get it out there and not have their identities be identified. So in this case, we've learned from two senior sources in the ATF that ATF is working on this draft rule that would have this impact of essentially banning the private sale of firearms. And to those who've been watching the progress in this area, it probably doesn't come as a surprise, right? After 2 years ago, the Congress passed the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And so last year, President Biden told the world, right, that, you know, he issued an executive order and said he basically wanted to not only make all background checks universal, but that they want to do everything that they could to try and stop individuals from being able to transfer firearms without going through all these onerous processes. And so this is, you know, again, not a surprise, but it's deeply disappointing to realize that, you know, right now there is a 1300 plus page document. We know exactly which attorney in ATF's general counsel's office is drafting it. And we know that he's doing this at the direction of the White House, because this is exactly the sort of move they want to make in an election year, thinking that it helps them.
Amazing. I mean, it's amazing to me when you look at this. So in other words, we talk about this banning the private sale of firearms. If I wanted to give a gun to my son, or my grandfather wanted to give a gun to me, it would prevent that transfer, correct? Is that the point, without going to an FFL licensee and getting a background check first?
Yeah, that's precisely right. And a lot of people don't. I mean, for one, not everybody, you know, for one, there's the issue of knowing where to go to do that. For two, there's the issue of just being aware of this new regulation. You know, people who are not aware of that, because anyone would assume, because of our constitutional rights, you can just pass on a firearm in that way to a family member or loved one. And so you're going to have a situation where people will potentially be violating what is not law in the normal sense that was passed by Congress, but those rules from ATF, they enforce just the same as if they were. And that's part of why ATF, there's so much trepidation within the ATF building about this. You know, a lot of people think of ATF agents as jackbooted thugs, and I get that. I've worked with some very, very courageous and patriotic federal law enforcement officers over the years, including an ATF, and a lot of agents there are worried that this is going to put them in harm's way, as they have to go out and be the face of the Biden administration in enforcing a rule like this.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it once again gets back to the insanity, in my opinion here, of believing that just because you make a rule or you pass a law, criminals are going to pay any attention to it. It's already illegal to give or sell a weapon to somebody who's not legally allowed to own one. And it's also illegal if you're a convicted felon and you don't have a right to own a weapon to take possession of one. All of these things are already laws that criminals, oddly enough, just ignore.
Shocking, isn't it? Can't imagine why they would ignore these laws as they're ignoring other ones. What's also troubling about this, though, is that Congress specifically has legislated on issues in this area before. You know, after the Gun Control Act of 1968 was passed, a lot of ATF's early actions really built up this resistance to and fear about their actions. And so in 1986, Congress passed an additional law that specifically said that ATF's regulatory authority only includes those who are engaged in the business of selling firearms. And it specifically says it shall not include a person who makes occasional sales, exchanges, or purchases of firearms for enhancing their personal collection or a hobby. And so this regulation, you know, in addition to the clear Second Amendment constitutional concerns it raises, there's also a separation of powers question here. Congress is who is authorized to make the laws under our Constitution, under the separation of powers. And in this case, ATF seems to be ignoring the plain language of this law that Congress has already passed.
Right. Now, you guys are seeking a records request here from the government. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've issued a Freedom of Information request to ask for all of the emails from this particular counsel and all their communications with the Department of Justice. We didn't ask for those with the White House because I'm sure they would exert executive privilege over those. But yeah, we are asking for the record so the American people can see for themselves how this is coming together.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that. Can people go to your website to find out more about this? Is there any action item here, like to reach out to your senators or elected representatives and make sure you know that you're adamantly opposed to this idea?
Yeah, that's certainly going to have an impact. Our website is empoweroversight.org, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, oversight.org. And yeah, people should absolutely let their elected representatives know how they feel about something like this. You know, again, this is an election year, and it's hard not to view it cynically, just like the student loan forgiveness that was pretty clear was going to be struck down in the courts. The Biden administration, I would guess, seems to be gambling on the fact that this either will not be struck down until after Election Day, in which case they have favor with those voters that support this, or even if it is struck down, that this will motivate their base to get out there in the polls this November and, you know, again, vote for members of Congress or, you know, vote in the presidential election to help keep in place or put in place Supreme Court justices that would support this kind of thing. So speaking up about this and also just being active politically is definitely a very appropriate response.
Yeah, that is very true. Tristan Levitt, president of Empower Oversight, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank goodness somebody's out there keeping an eye on that, for sure. If we hear any more information on it, we're going to bring it to you right here.
You know, I'm so glad that that conversation happened. And when it's important like that, that everybody that supports the Second Amendment hears 2A Tuesday. Don't forget about that on the Mark Cox Show. That's every Tuesday morning. But when it's that important, we had to replay it. And we're hoping you got something out of it. Because I'll tell you what, the overreach is crazy. And that's why Empower Oversight is so important. It's good job on that interview there, boss.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bo. I mean, the thing about that is, just for a moment, just stop for a moment and think, if there were people in this government on a daily basis, and in some cases there probably are, actively working to undermine your First Amendment rights or your
Absolutely.
Fourth Amendment rights, or you pick the amendment that's the most important to you, and there were government agencies working to subvert that just because of their ideology. Think about that.
But don't you think, like, when you talk about the First Amendment, freedom of speech, don't you think that's already being controlled by the mainstream media? And don't you think some of these gun laws are being controlled by the government, but through these departments, the ATF and things like that, even before it's law. So we got to fight for this. We got to really stand up against it. Otherwise, you know, every Facebook marketplace transaction is going to be documented. Everything you sell. I mean, it's just getting nuts.
Yeah. Wait until it's your ox that they're goring, is what I would say to you, to anybody who thinks, well, there's nothing wrong with them forcing you to get a background check. It's just like I pointed out to Tristan in that interview. It's already against the law for you to knowingly sell a gun to somebody who's not allowed to have one. And if you're selling a gun to your neighbor, that's a question that's on you to ask before that happens. And if 100%. They buy a gun, if they're in possession of a gun and they're not supposed to have one, that's already against the law too. So there are already laws in place to stop this, but that's not good enough for them. They've got to go one extra step and make sure that their nose is in it somewhere. And this is more evidence of the ideology that's driving them in this. They don't care that criminals don't follow laws. That means nothing to them. They just want to have more restrictions in place, period.
Right, right. And I love Tristan's little giggle when you mentioned about the criminals, you know, abiding by that's the thing. This is a money grab. It's control. This is not good, because the ones that are in question, enforce the laws that are on the books now. And then I'll talk to you about maybe doing something like this. You know, the shuttle never went up in space before the Wright brothers did what they did. So it's got to go in order. And that's my analogy. It's a horrible analogy, but it's all I could come up with. But the main thing is, we have a group like Empower Oversight. That's kind of the watchdog.
Yeah. If we hear any more on it, obviously, as I mentioned there, we will be sure and bring that to you. All right. Coming up, the great outdoors portion of this program. And boy, do we have a good one for you. An opportunity to get outdoors. The weather is far better than we would normally expect for February, whether it's 35 degrees or 60 degrees. That's a lot better than -3. So you got a great opportunity to get outdoors with the kids. We're going to tell you all about it coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Glad you are back with us. And I have to tell you, if you've never been up the Great River Road, if that's something you enjoy going, checking out just the beautiful confluence. If you've been up through there on a boat, it's just a fantastic thing to see. This is not generally the time of season to do that on a boat, but you still have plenty of opportunities. We have a guest with us this morning, Allison Raynor, Museum Director for the National Great Rivers Museum over in East Alton. And Allison, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I just have to speculate here for a moment that when you planned this event, the third annual Ice Jam at the Dam, you were not expecting 60-degree temperatures in February.
Not exactly, but it wasn't off the table. We've had 40-degree temperatures the first year. It was pretty icy the second year. And, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Will the beer be iced down? Because that could qualify us for the ice jam at the dam.
The beer will be iced down, I promise.
And who originally came up with this in the first year and said, hey, let's do this, because I love the name. It's marketing genius, whoever come up with that. I'm sure it was you, Allison.
It wasn't. I mean, our whole team came up with the concept, but the name has to go to Corinne O'Brien. If you follow our socials, she's hilarious. She nice. Comes up with gold like this all the time.
Well, that's fantastic. Tell people what's going to be going on. So it'll be the 17th of February from 10 to 3.
Right. So on the 17th of February, so that's on the 17th, you can come out to Ice Jam at the Dam. And the whole premise of Ice Jam at the Dam is to help people to understand what their opportunities are for recreating on and along the river in the winter months, because we don't have to hole ourselves up just because it's cold outside. So we have teams of different organizations out, like a Mississippi River Water Trail Association will have a booth, for example, and they'll teach you how you can kayak in the winter. And we'll have other organizations out with animals and kind of just displaying what animals, what adaptations animals have to go through to live in this area in the winter. So we've got a bunch of different organizations you can go visit, and they all have activities. If you visit six, you can get a goodie bag for the kiddos. But then we also have live music. We have fire pits and s'mores. We've got animal shows by Treehouse. So you can buy a ticket to an animal show. The event is free, but you, to buy tickets, you have to buy a ticket to the animal show. Those are at 11, 12:30, and 2. And they'll have a variety of different animals that they'll walk through and talk about how they're specifically adapted to winter here on the river. Our live music is going to be by Chris Cahill. He's been with us all 3 years of the event, and he's fantastic. And Louie from the Blues will also be there from 10:30 to 11.
Louie knows a thing or two about ice.
He does. So we're really excited to have him. He'll be alongside our Bobber, the water safety dog. We're really big into water safety here at the Army Corps of Engineers. So we'll have our mascot there. We'll have Louie from the Blues. And we have a raffle. So a lot of this event goes to support the Meeting of the Rivers Foundation, which is the 501c3 charity that supports the National Great Rivers Museum. So the event is free, but if you buy an animal show ticket, or if you buy a s'mores kit to roast s'mores, or if you buy tickets for the raffle, that all goes to support that charity.
I love it. I love it. Allison Rayner is our guest, museum director at the National Great Rivers Museum in East Alton. And, you know, I'm just hearing, I mean, the show is called Second Amendment Radio. We talk about guns and ammo and laws and things like that. But it's also about getting in the great outdoors. So no matter what the weather is next week, it is time to load up the family and go up. Again, you said it was free, but I'm always about seeing the feature shows like the Treehouse Wildlife Center. Bring your kids in there. Are they going to be seeing like an eagle, like, you know, one that's, rehabilitating or something like that? Are they going to see animals like that, owls, or what are they going to see specifically? Because I know families and kids especially love to get up close and see that.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what they're bringing this year, but last year they brought a possum and an owl, I think a kestrel. The eagles that we're going to be seeing at the event are going to be in the wild because we have two permanent nests that are visible from the museum. So we'll have the Illinois Department of Natural Resources there with spotting scopes and walking families through how to spot eagles. We also have open tours of Melvin Price Fox and Dam. So we give free public tours 7 days a week at 10, 1, and 3. But when we have these large events, it's not really conducive to have a group of 20 with one tour guide. There's just too many people. So what we do is we go to something that's called open tours. We just station rangers along the lock and dam, and we just ride the elevator up and down all day. You can go on top of Melvin Price for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's up to you. And there will be spotting scopes up top, too. You can see Riverlands Migratory Bird Sanctuary, which is also our property, on the other side of the river. There won't be ice. Well, a lot of times you'll see a bunch of eagles sitting out on the ice there. You'll definitely be able to see eagles flying back and forth across the river because we get this time of year the migratory bald eagles, but then we also have those year-round resident nests that I mentioned as well.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. For parents out there, if your kids haven't experienced the lock and dam, it's pretty cool. And it's not something most of us have an opportunity to experience. I have to tell you, I was this many years old when I experienced it because last summer I went over and did a European river cruise like on the Danube, and what we ended up going through several lock and dam systems on the way down that river. First time I'd ever been near one, and people could go tour them right here at home.
Yeah, it's completely free. Like I said, three times a day, 7 days a week. We also take private tours. If you call the Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Bureau and you want to take your group, we'll schedule you a private tour in addition to the public tours that we do, completely free. It really is quite amazing. And so the lock and dam here in Alton is the only one that's ever been replaced out of all 29 that are on the river. So it's the newest. It's the most technologically advanced. We've got some way more efficient features than you're going to see anywhere else on the Mississippi River. So we really do have a gem as far as learning about river navigation right here in town.
I didn't realize that they did tours of the Melvin Price Lock and Dam. I've been to the Vegas Hoover Dam, yeah. And that was cool to see because it's just an anomaly how big that thing is. But yeah. Is Melvin Price Lock and Dam tours, are they available any other time throughout the year?
Yeah, at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., 7 days a week. You just walk up, no reservation needed.
That's pretty awesome.
Another great feature of this area. That's awesome. Yeah.
Allison, tell us a little bit more about the museum over there for people who aren't familiar with it.
So the museum, which is situated at the base of the Melvin Price Locks and Dam, is the point of the museum is to get people familiar with who we are. So we're the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we work very intimately with our water resources all across the country and the world. But here in Alton, our mission is primarily navigation-focused and keeping the Mississippi River open to global traffic. So a lot of people don't think of the river as a global highway. But at the museum, we take a multifaceted approach to the interest of rivers. So if your interest is in history, we have exhibits on history. If your interest is more geology or geography-focused, we can tell you about, eons past how rivers were formed. We have a towboat simulation, so you can get into a pilot house and try to pilot your own 15-barge towboat through a lock and dam.
We've
got ecological exhibits where you can learn about animals. So whatever your interest is, our job at the museum is to tie it into the Mississippi River and rivers in general, because it's all related.
Yeah, really cool. You know, I think maybe last summer, I learned about loopers, which I'd never heard of before, but we were there in Grafton with a buddy of mine on his boat, and there were people parked all around us who were doing the Great Loop, where they go down the Mississippi River and around the tip of Florida and back up to the Great Lakes. I mean, it was pretty fascinating.
It's always fun when it's looper season. We get a huge influx to the museum, and we can just watch all the boats walk through. It's a great time. And I also want to mention that for families that come out, so we are 10 to 3, our event on the 17th. I know I have a daughter, and I always like options. So we do have Old Bakery Beer Company. They'll have beer, and they will also have chili. And we have Pig on a Wing. With their food truck there, they do barbecue, and we'll also have Shivers frozen custard, so you can kind of double down on your icy experience, or you can get a coffee and warm up a bit. Those are the few vendors we currently have confirmed, so we've always gotten really good feedback from them, so there are food options. And also, if you've got little kiddos, we have a commercial-sized theater in our museum, and we will be playing Frozen and Frozen 2 at 10 and noon. So if you want to watch Frozen, but get that movie theater experience from when it first came out, now's the time to take your kiddo. It's completely free.
That's hilarious. Allison, you sound very passionate about what you do. How long have you been with the National Great Rivers Museum?
I've been the director there for about 3.5 years, but I've been working on or along the Mississippi River for maybe 13 years now.
Good for you. Wow, what a dream job. That's awesome. Okay, where can we send people online to find out more about this event and all year round?
So you can go to the National Great Rivers Museum Facebook page. If socials aren't your thing, you can check out our foundation's website, which is meetingoftherivers.org.
Excellent. Okay, wonderful. Allison Rayner, Museum Director of the National Great Rivers Museum in East Alton. We wish you a great event. By the way, I'm looking ahead at the forecast, whether it holds or not. We're talking about 38 degrees high temperature for the day. So there'll be some ice, and for sure on the beer.
Yes, for sure on the beer at least.
Okay. All right, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no
See,
kidding.
That's why we're here, Mark. We're here to motivate people to get out of the house, for crying out loud.
Honestly, lots of opportunities for you there year-round. Go tour the dam, even if you can't make it out on the 17th.
You know, when I saw Carl's notes on this conversation...
Take Me to the River here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Glad you are back with us. And I have to tell you, if you've never been up the Great River Road, if that's something you enjoy going, checking out just the beautiful confluence. If you've been up through there on a boat, it's just a fantastic thing to see. This is not generally the time of season to do that on a boat, but you still have plenty of opportunities. We have a guest with us this morning, Allison Raynor, Museum Director for the National Great Rivers Museum over in East Alton. And Allison, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I just have to speculate here for a moment that when you planned this event, the third annual ice jam at the dam, you were not expecting 60-degree temperatures in February.
Not exactly, but it wasn't off the table. We've had 40-degree temperatures the first year. It was pretty icy the second year. And, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Will the beer be iced down? Because that could qualify us for the ice jam at the dam.
The beer will be iced down, I promise.
And who originally came up with this in the first year and said, hey, let's do this, because I love the name. It's marketing genius, whoever came up with that. I'm sure it was you, Allison.
It wasn't. I mean, our whole team came up with the concept, but the name has to go to Corinne O'Brien. If you follow our socials, she's hilarious. She nice. Comes up with gold like this all the time.
Well, that's fantastic. Tell people what's going to be going on. So it'll be the 17th of February from 10 to 3.
Right. So on the 17th of February, so that's on the 17th, you can come out to Ice Jam at the Dam. And the whole premise of Ice Jam at the Dam is to help people to understand what their opportunities are for recreating on and along the river in the winter months, because we don't have to hole ourselves up just because it's cold outside. So we have teams of different organizations out, like a Mississippi River Water Trail Association will have a booth, for example, and they'll teach you how you can kayak in the winter. And we'll have other organizations out with animals and kind of just displaying what animals, what adaptations animals have to go through to live in this area in the winter. So we've got a bunch of different organizations you can go visit, and they all have activities. If you visit six, you can get a goodie bag for the kiddos. But then we also have live music. We have fire pits and s'mores. We've got animal shows by Treehouse. So you can buy a ticket to an animal show. The event is free, but you have to buy a ticket to the animal show. Those are at 11, 12:30, and 2. And they'll have a variety of different animals that they'll walk through and talk about how they're specifically adapted to winter here on the river. Our live music is going to be by Chris Cahill. He's been with us all 3 years of the event, and he's fantastic. And Louie from the Blues will also be there from 10:30 to 11.
Louie knows a thing or two about ice.
He does. So we're really excited to have him. He'll be alongside our Bobber, the water safety dog. We're really big into water safety here at the Army Corps of Engineers. So we'll have our mascot there. We'll have Louie from the Blues. And we have a raffle. So a lot of this event goes to support the Meeting of the Rivers Foundation, which is the 501c3 charity that supports the National Great Rivers Museum. So the event is free, but if you buy an animal show ticket, or if you buy a s'mores kit to roast s'mores, or if you buy tickets for the raffle, that all goes to support that charity.
I love it. I love it. Allison Raynor is our guest, museum director at the National Great Rivers Museum in East Alton. And, you know, I'm just hearing, I mean, the show is called Second Amendment Radio. We talk about guns and ammo and laws and things like that. But it's also about getting in the great outdoors. So no matter what the weather is next week, it is time to load up the family and go up. Again, you said it was free. But I'm always about seeing the feature shows like the Treehouse Wildlife Center. Bring your kids in there. Are they going to be seeing like an eagle, like, you know, one that's rehabilitating or something like that? Are they going to see animals like that, owls, or what are they going to see specifically? Because I know families and kids especially love to get up close and see that.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what they're bringing this year, but last year they brought a possum and an owl, and I think a kestrel. The eagles that we're going to be seeing at the event are going to be in the wild, because we have two permanent nests that are visible from
the museum. So we'll have the Illinois Department of Natural Resources there with spotting scopes and walking families through how to spot eagles. We also have open tours of Melvin Price Locks and Dams. So we give free public tours 7 days a week at 10, 1, and 3. But when we have these large events, it's not really conducive to have a group of 20 with one tour guide. There's just too many people. So what we do is we go to something that's called open tours. We just station rangers along the lock and dam, and we just ride the elevator up and down all day. You can go on top of Melvin Price for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's up to you. And there will be spotting scopes up top, too. You can see Riverlands Migratory Bird Sanctuary, which is also our property, on the other side of the river. There won't be ice. Well, a lot of times you'll see a bunch of eagles sitting out on the ice there. You'll definitely be able to see eagles flying back and forth across the river, because we get this time of year the migratory bald eagles, but then we also have those year-round resident nests that I mentioned as well.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. For parents out there, if your kids haven't experienced the lock and dam, it's pretty cool. And it's not something most of us have an opportunity to experience. I have to tell you, I was this many years old when I experienced it, because last summer I went over and did a European river cruise, like on the Danube, and what we ended up going through several lock and dam systems on the way down that river. First time I'd ever been near one, and people could go tour them right here at home.
Yeah, it's completely free. Like I said, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. We also take private tours. If you call the Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Bureau and you want to take your group, we'll schedule you a private tour in addition to the public tours that we do, completely free. It really is quite amazing. And so the lock and dam here in Alton is the only one that's ever been replaced out of all 29 that are on the river. So it's the newest. It's the most technologically advanced. We've got some way more efficient features than you're going to see anywhere else on the Mississippi River. So we really do have a gem as far as learning about river navigation right here in town.
I didn't realize that they did tours of the Melvin Price Lock and Dam. I've been to the Vegas Hoover Dam, yeah. And that was cool to see, because it's just an anomaly how big that thing is. But is Melvin Price Lock and Dam tours, are they available any other time throughout the year?
Yeah, at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., 7 days a week. You just walk up, no reservation needed.
That's pretty awesome.
Another great feature of this area. That's awesome. Yeah.
Allison, tell us a little bit more about the museum over there for people who aren't familiar with it.
So the museum, which is situated at the base of the Melvin Price Locks and Dam, is the point of the museum is to get people familiar with who we are. So we're the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we work very intimately with our water resources all across the country and the world. But here in Alton, our mission is primarily navigation-focused and keeping the Mississippi River open to global traffic. So a lot of people don't think of the river as a global highway. But at the museum, we take a multifaceted approach to the interest of rivers. So if your interest is in history, we have exhibits on history. If your interest is more geology or geography focused, we can tell you about, eons past how rivers were formed. We have a towboat simulation, so you can get into a pilot house and try to pilot your own 15-barge towboat through a lock and dam. Ecological exhibits where you can learn about animals. So whatever your interest is, our job at the museum is to tie it into the Mississippi River and rivers in general, because it's all related.
Yeah, really cool. You know, I think maybe last summer I learned about loopers, which I'd never heard of before, but we were there in Grafton with a buddy of mine on his boat, and there were people parked all around us who were doing the Great Loop, where they go down the Mississippi River and around the tip of Florida and back up through the Great Lakes. I mean, it was pretty fascinating.
It's always fun when it's looper season. We get a huge influx to the museum, and we can just watch all the boats walk through. It's a great time. And I also want to mention that for families that come out, so we are 10 to 3, our event on the 17th. I know I have a daughter, and I always like the options. So we do have Old Bakery Beer Company. They'll have beer, and they will also have chili. And we have Pig on a Wing with their food truck there. They do barbecue. And we'll also have Shivers Frozen Custard, so you can kind of double down on your icy experience, or you can get a coffee and warm up a bit. Those are the few vendors we currently have confirmed. So we've always gotten really good feedback from them. So there are food options. And also, if you've got little kiddos, we have a commercial size theater in our museum, and we will be playing Frozen and Frozen 2 at 10 and noon. So if you want to watch Frozen, but get that movie theater experience from when it first came out, now's the time to take your kiddo. It's completely free.
That's hilarious. Allison, you sound very passionate about what you do. How long have you been with the National Great Rivers Museum?
I've been the director there for about 3.5 years, but I've been working on or along the Mississippi River for maybe 13 years now.
Good for you. Wow, what a dream job. That's awesome. Okay, where can we send people online to find out more about this event and all year round?
So you can go to the National Great Rivers Museum Facebook page. If socials aren't your thing, you can check out our foundation's website, which is meetingoftherivers.org.
Excellent. Okay, wonderful. Allison Rayner, Museum Director of the National Great Rivers Museum in East Alton. We wish you a great event. By the way, I'm looking ahead at the forecast, whether it holds or not. We're talking about 38 degrees high temperature for the day. So there'll be some ice and for sure on the beer.
Yes, for sure on the beer at least.
Okay. All right, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no
See,
kidding.
That's why we're here, Mark. We're here to motivate people to get out of the house, for crying out loud.
Honestly, lots of opportunities for you there year-round. Go tour the dam, even if you can't make it out on the 17th.
You know, when I saw Carl's notes on this conversation, Allison Rayner, museum director, I'm like, museum director, wow, is that going to be boring? Dude, she is like super into it. I thought it was impressive.
Yeah, it'd be worth it just to go up and just to engage her in conversation on what she does for a living. That's
yeah,
great.
It's like you think of, Carl is the executive producer of Mark Cox Radio Show and Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Oh, boring. Boring.
Who would but ever think that? Of course they wouldn't think that. Come on.
He works hard. All righty.
Yep, that does it for us on this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend.
Share the show and see you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.